It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Welcome back to 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for the download on Chicago Business. This is our segment sponsored by Signature Bank. Talks to entrepreneurs about their story so we better understand ours. And tonight we talk about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. John Wallace is the CEO and co-founder of Workbox, which is a company that calls itself a co-working accelerator. And I want to know what that means, and that's why John is in studio today. John, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's get right into it. Co-working accelerator. That's the phrase I was looking at. I'm like, I'm not sure what that means, so jump into it.
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of a unique concept, but we looked at the co-working space, and we found that startups weren't getting a lot of resources to help them be successful, and I thought that the co-working market was focused way too much on real estate amenities, mm-hmm. things like
Free coffee,
donuts, things like that.
Yeah, right.
But not providing enough services for the startups in the city. So my co-founder and I started Workbox with the idea of creating a curated member base, local founders, decision makers, executives, and then providing them with resources to scale. So different than a co-working company in that we're providing them, you know, access to capital, access to strategic right. services, but different than an accelerator. We're not taking equity. We don't force them out after a certain period, and we still focus on community.
That's a great point, because I think a lot of press ink has been spilled on co-working spaces and how great they are for companies to come in and all the amenities that could be provided. But you're right. It feels like most of those spaces are really just talking about the amenities of nice couches.
Yes,
things
exactly.
like that might be in the lobby. But when you do an accelerator and you put all the entrepreneurs and the resources that entrepreneurs need to succeed, what do you have to do? Do you have to diversify? Do you have to make sure that all the parts of running a small business are covered?
Yeah, so we do it through partnerships. So, you know, we have an application process. We look for companies that are, we say we're agnostic to sectors, but most of our companies are in a similar period life cycle. So most of our companies are either pre-seed, seed, or series A. And then we provide them, you know, access through capital and services through partnerships. So whether that's Hyde Park Venture Partners or Chicago Ventures or mm-hmm. some of the other known VCs here or to some of the smaller angel groups, we ask those partners to provide us time that we can allocate to our members.
Also unique, because you're right, most of the incubators and accelerators that may operate in the city are separated by sector. You'll have the tech sector
yep.
or manufacturer, whatever it might be.
Yep.
But it seems like that's where the wells are, the channels. You guys are going beyond that.
Yeah, so what we found, so we do programming that's a little bit different than most accelerators as well. We have a mastermind series where the leaders of all the companies sit down once a month and problem solve for each other's issues. And I found actually having diversity of the companies helps. So we might have a marketing expert or a finance expert, and it's really fun to watch them solve each other's problems for through network or through experience. And I think that there's value of that diversity of experience.
Are you looking for those kind of members and partners? I mean, do you see yourself where you're like, oh, we don't have anyone in the marketing sector. Let's see if somebody can come in and fill that role.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking just for companies that are really interested yeah. in growing, and it's happened kind of organically. I mean, our sectors are all over the place. We have a platform for making introductions to high-profile investors. We have a healthcare services insurance play. We have a company doing lending to cannabis companies. We have just a diversified
yeah,
group
variety,
of companies.
Right.
But I think they've attracted other companies. And I think, you know, we haven't had the marketing budget to go out and blast
yeah, right.
a bunch of advertisement. But we've had a lot of referrals, because I think people are really enjoying the experience that they're getting there. So, you know, we opened up July 1, and we've already attracted 18 companies into the space. So,
well, it's an evolution. And you think about, you know, any entrepreneurs, whether it be incubators or accelerators, there needs to be an evolution to the next stage.
Yeah.
The idea of having these co-work spaces become more entrepreneur involved and entrepreneur focused is not a bad, I mean, it seems like that's the next generation. It makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there's, so we can provide services, and we work really hard to vet our partners and find good providers to help give our companies resources. But I think there's a real benefit of the actual founders there. There's a lot of guys in the space that have done really exciting things and are mentors in themselves.
Well, mentorship plays a huge role in what you do, and we're going to talk about that coming up next, right after the break. John Wallace is in studio. He's the co-founder and CEO of Workbox, which is a co-working accelerator. We all know what that means now. Uh-huh. It's a download in Chicago business. We'll take a quick break and come back here. Stay with us. Welcome back to 720 WGN. It's a download on Chicago business. Justin Kaufman is here with John Wallace, who is the co-founder and CEO of Workbox, a co-working accelerator in downtown Chicago. We're talking about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. And right before the break, we talked about mentorship. That's a huge part of it. Yep. Entrepreneurs and like yourself and others, it's almost a prereq to get in there and to tap the brains of entrepreneurs who've done it before.
Yeah. No, it's scary starting your own business. And it's nice to have that network. And it's even better to have people that have done it before and to tell you kind of how to think about things. You know, we're a startup that's catering to startups. So we even use our own members to kind of help us with aspects of our business. So, you know, we have age and experience varies so much within our community. But yeah, I think that's a huge resource. But in addition to that, we have companies and people that are willing to give their time to sit down with our companies to help them out as well.
When you're accepting companies into the accelerator, is that important to say, hey, listen, you know, this is a different kind of accelerator. We want everyone to share their ideas. We want you to help others around you. It's not really about isolation.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't really come up. I think the reason we kind of titled ourselves co-working accelerators because I think there are benefits from co-working, and I think that there are benefits for community. I think a few years ago, before you know, co-working started to fill every single office building in every single major city, there was a real focus on that. And I think if you keep it's small. I think there are benefits of, you know, cross-pollination. You know, we're even talking to some companies that have incubators within their own companies that would like to work with companies like ourselves by, you know, getting them close to the mothership, but not like in the mothership,
right.
Because I think that there's benefits from that cross-pollination.
I ask entrepreneurs on this segment all the time about the challenges of whatever their work. And for you, I guess it's the challenge of working with entrepreneurs. What is the challenge for Workbox? What's the number one thing that you're like, is it just getting businesses involved? But once they're involved, what are the challenges and the struggles of doing this work?
Well, I think the companies that we are attracting are very busy. So a lot of people are traveling and trying to create a programming for them to make sure that it's valuable to them, that it's efficient from a time use standpoint is always a challenge. There is never a period where all of our companies are in the office at the same time, which is a good thing.
Yeah, hard to have luncheons, right?
Exactly. So our companies are growing really fast. They're taking additional space very fast. I think a challenge for us in our space right now is that our companies, you know, we're providing them with all these resources, you know, steroids to help them grow and like trying to contain them. And, you know, at some point they're going to spread their wings and fly and take their own space.
Right.
And that's a great success for us. But because our companies are in different sectors, you know, most of the focus that we have are on operational things. So, you know, cloud services, PEO services, technology, accounting, operational, and then capital, because everyone needs capital. And less on industry specific stuff.
Growth is such an interesting concept for Workbox because you want to help these companies grow.
Yeah.
But if they get to the point where they do exactly what you want them to do, they leave. And I'm not trying to break it down to say the only reason you're interested is to keep them in the building because that's how you make money. But the idea being, how do you measure the growth and make sure that when they're at the point where it's time to fly, you're ready to let go?
Yeah, so we're always ready to let go. But I think our model is changing a little bit. We're actually actively looking for another location. I think in our current location, you know, it's ideal for companies really 15 and under. We have varying sizes of offices. But most of our companies, I would say the sweet spot are between 5 and 15 people. And we can do as small as 2 to 3. I think our next location is going to be more of a suite model. So suite, SUITE model.
Yeah, right.
Focused on companies that are larger, 10 to 30 people companies. And companies that are more seed to Series A. So we're trying to provide a product that companies can grow into, and we can continue to keep them within our network. The other thing that we do that's unique in the space is that we do revenue share arrangements with some of our companies. You know, collectively, because we're focused on members as the asset, we have a lot of partners that want to, you know, have access to these companies. We're able to negotiate good rates for our members.
Yeah, right.
So even if they were to outgrow a suite model scenario, we still can provide them resources from a services standpoint and from an alumni network standpoint.
It's amazing to think about how startups and entrepreneurs have changed just in the last decade.
Yeah.
Because co-working spaces have really taken over. If I were going to start a business that I had 10, 15 employees 10, 15 years ago, I'm looking at office space downtown. I'm looking at taking out that heavy rent.
Yeah.
And it's just to put me in a building, just to start, yeah, you know, to make sure my employees have desks to work at. This has changed the game in the way that part of it, not to say that it's not expensive to be in a co-working space.
Yeah.
But it has changed the game and given more of a head start for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. No, it's much easier to rent space now. It's much more commonly acceptable. So I think that there's a lot, it gives a lot of flexibility. We're just trying to increase the service offering and the value add to conventional co-working. Because I think there is a need for the real estate, but there's a need for a lot more. And why we have all these great companies sitting in our location, I think that there's a real benefit to providing more for these companies, yeah, to help them be successful.
What happens when a company isn't successful? It's early because you guys just started in July, so
yeah,
I'd say that they're, but the idea that someone is just not growing and they're there and
yeah,
maybe they're isolated, they don't want to be part of, how do you deal with a company that's not doing well?
Yeah, so I mean, fortunately we haven't had, we've only been around for 6 months, but you know, our premise is flexibility. So I think that we actually offer two packages. We offer a faster, smarter membership, which gives one-on-one access to angel capital investors, you know, all the strategic services. Mm-hmm. And then we have a fundamentals membership, which is less expensive. It creates the ability to rent month to month. We have a whole range of size of offices, desks, general members, memberships. Like, the reason we started this business isn't to force someone to into bankruptcy because they can't afford their aid, because
right,
even successful companies have downsized, have right, had to, you know.
Some of the biggest in the world. I mean, that's
exactly
what they do. They're always ebb and flow, right?
So, I mean, I think if we are kind and we take care of companies when they've had a rough patch, you know, they'll take care of us or, you know, down the road. So I think that the whole point of co-working is flexibility. And there are times when companies are going to downsize or decide not to go forward. But one, companies that downsize don't necessarily mean that they won't grow again.
Mm-hmm.
And founders that, you know, aren't successful in one venture doesn't mean that those founders won't be successful in another. So actually, you know, most founders have been not successful in one venture here or there. So, you know, I think it's a people business. And I think if you take care of people, I think there's real opportunities down the road.
It's amazing to talk to so many different entrepreneurs about risk and failure, and to understand that if I'm not in business, I would think that failure is the one thing you'd want to stay away from. But every person that comes in talks about, no, that's how you grow. There's a part of failure. So how do you approach that when the whole idea that the business model that you put together is that we're going to keep you from failing?
You know, I think every entrepreneur that steps into, you know, the startup world, I think, has to accept the fact that there's, even though we're all optimists and we always see like all the rosy skies and everything, I do think that it's real, and that's part of why co-working works. That's why it makes sense to, you know, come to a space like ours where we increase your odds of success, but you're not taking a 7 to 10 year lease where there's personal guarantees included. And, you know, I think that there's a real risk even beyond just, you know, having to change your address.
Yeah, right. Right. My last question for you is, why Chicago? Or just to evaluate Chicago? Because
yeah,
we hear a lot about the tech sector. We hear a lot about business and the you know, how successful some entrepreneurs
yeah,
have been. But why set this up in Chicago? Why does Chicago need this? Why not set this up in New York or LA or somewhere else around the country?
I mean, there's so many reasons to be in Chicago. I think I was talking about this to my co-founder the other day. I mean, we wouldn't even be able to get off the ground in San Francisco or New York with where prices are, where staffing are, where cost of living is. And the fact that we're able to do this in Chicago speaks to the ecosystem in the market here. It's a huge, well-educated city with a lot of people. I think there's a lot of, it doesn't get enough credit in the media, like how many new companies are being created here. It wasn't until I worked at a big company before this, and you always read about San Francisco or New York.
Right, right.
And it wasn't really until I stepped into this role that I saw just how much new company creation is going on. And it's a nice environment. It's not competitive in the way that, you know, some of the other markets are, where, you know, I think certain startups won't collaborate. I haven't found that at all in Chicago. I don't know if that's the Midwest or the fact that it hasn't been on the radar like some of the other cities, but I think that there's just a lot of reasons why Chicago, I think, is going to be a huge beneficiary of everything that's going
yeah,
on here today.
John Wallace is the co-founder and CEO of Workbox, which is a co-working accelerator right over on Wabash. here in downtown Chicago. John, thanks for being my guest on Download in Chicago Business.